Hello, everybody. Welcome back to part two of the 2014 Beard in Review. This is Will, and that's Evan.
Hi there.
And we have more things to talk to you about today. Let's just jump right into it, you know? Hopefully we can get through the rest of everything rather than just five more entries, but we'll see what we can do, and we will cut it off at a certain sensible point if we need to. Sound good?
Sounds perfect.
Sounds perfect to me, too. All right. Do you want to kick it off with an entry?
Okay. I'll talk about a TV show that's new this year that I really like. It is called Forever. Have you heard about it?
I have not. Tell me about it.
It is a great show. It's what I'm into. All the things I'm into. It follows this guy named Henry, who is a medical examiner, I guess, in modern day times. But it turns out that he has had this curse, and he's been alive for hundreds of years. And he is basically trying to figure out how to die and why he's cursed. And he's always been some form of a doctor or medical examiner or something like that. So he really like studies these bodies to figure out, you know, how they die and all that kind of stuff. And he tries to relate it to his curse. And it has a lot of flashbacks throughout his life, so you can see things that evolved, but in the meantime, he forges a friendship with this detective, Joe, who finds out that he's really good at his job, and they solve mysteries, I guess. It's basically like a crime serial, but has a little bit of a...
Like a supernatural magic element.
Supernatural, uh-huh, yeah, and he'll die. He dies occasionally, but he always comes back to life, naked, in a body of water. And he has basically the Alfred to his character is this elderly Jewish man who it turns out is okay, I guess that's a spoiler. Cause I mean, like, it's just really cool of how everybody's connected and all that sort of thing. So it's a really good show. I enjoy watching it.
What network is it on?
I knew you were going to ask that. I was going to be like, I'm going to try and skirt around that. I'm pretty sure it's NBC.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I was trying, that was one of the first things I was gonna underline. Like, should have done my research. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I was just wondering if it was, you know, just like on, like cable or if it was an internet series or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's actually on cable. It's on ABC.
Ah, okay, cool.
And, actually the lead character, the guy who plays Henry, I'm going to butcher his name, but it's like Ion Griffith, which is Welsh for like John Griffith, but he is a Welsh actor and is fabulous. He's a phenomenal actor. He was actually in Titanic back in the day, which as throwback. You know, I love Titanic, and I like realized after, because I was like, I've seen him before, but he's been in a ton of things, but he is a great actor.
Cool. So, that's awesome.
That's my cable throw out.
I like that. Let's see. I don't know if I have any cable throwouts at all. So,
and you know, I don't really watch that. I feel like I don't watch that much TV that's like a cable show or whatever. You know, it's kind of those, if it's on, I'll catch it. But, yeah, I guess I could do another throw out. But yes, that is one cable show that I'm very into. It's new.
Cool. I don't watch like any cable at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all Netflix. Like instead of just like turning on the TV to pass time, I will turn on like my game console and go to Netflix.
Yeah.
Instead.
Well, how do you feel too about, you know, like new show when it's, you know, new show season on cable? Yeah. I can't watch it because I don't want to get into something and then it get cut. That's happened to me twice already. And I'm like, oh, I can't deal with it. And that totally defeats the purpose of, you know, like, they keep it if it has an audience and if it's well-rated. Right. And so if I'm like, but I have commitment issues, I guess, because I just don't want to be bailed on.
No, yeah, that makes sense. I just don't, I like actually don't ever watch TV, so,
yeah.
Or like cable or whatever, so I, new show season doesn't really mean much to me. I like always catch things after the fact on online and stuff.
I tend to like read about it. I'll read about when it gets through that first, you know, hump and everybody kind of weighs in on things and I'm like, ooh, that kind of sounds cool, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my attitude towards it.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, shout out to Forever with Jon Griffon or whatever.
Yeah, he's good.
Cool. Neat. Okay, so my number six of the year, I guess. Not in any particular order. But this is something I actually just watched the other week for the first time. And it far after its release. It came out early this year. Grand Budapest Hotel. Yeah, and this is actually the first Wes Anderson movie I enjoyed. I was really put off by Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, I remember that, and that was one that I kind of liked. I remember being like, oh my gosh, this is not going to be, you know, this doesn't make any sense. But then I was like, oh, I kind of like this, and I remember like saying to you that I kind of enjoyed it, and you were like, no.
Yeah, I don't know, like, it seemed like people really like Moonrise Kingdom, and it really rubbed me the wrong way in almost every possible way. And I was like, I was so ready to, you know, condemn every Wes Anderson movie forever of all time to like annoying, quirky, whimsy, basically, and like style without substance and just stupid quirk stuff. But I've since come around after seeing The Grand Budapest Hotel. My feelings about Moonrise Kingdom still exist. I still, like, don't like the movie, but I guess I can probably forgive some of its style choices. But I think there's nothing inherently wrong with having, like, a distinctive style like Anderson does, and it definitely works with this movie, Grand Budapest Hotel, that is. I'm trying to like picture another director trying to shoot the movie in any other way, and there's like no way it would work. Have you seen this movie?
I have not seen it.
Okay, it's really good. it's on my list. It's a very entertaining plot, and there's some really fantastic characters and some phenomenal acting. It's an ambitious project, but it's totally, it totally hits it. And definitely I was left talking like a Ralph Fiennes character for days after seeing it. There's just, I don't know, delight.
You just, I hesitate, sound like to you call just it delightful. It.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Calling it delightful is sort of getting back to what I find.
You would call me on your hamburger phone to tell me it was delightful and lovely.
Right. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Twirl a stupid handlebar mustache, but not an actual mustache, something I like taped to my face or something. Like, that's just not what I'm about. But apparently Wes Anderson is like a very accomplished like music video commercial director too. And so like he's proved himself with, I mean, here I am, me, Will, saying, like, okay, Wes Anderson, you proved yourself. But I do appreciate, like, people who... sometimes it annoys me when I see people who go for really out-there kind of projects without just being able to nail, like, a simple shot, reverse shot, basic stuff, and then claiming it's art, which... That's totally tangent because that's not what this is at all. But hey, Grand Budapest Hotel really succeeded in turning my thoughts on Wes Anderson around, and I thought it was a great movie. So there's that.
Nice.
If you're looking for a fun movie to see, that's one.
Oh, good.
There you go. Those are my thoughts. You got something else? You got the number seven?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with music real quick.
Oh,
no.
First music entry.
First
if
music
we
entry.
Don't count our like weird talk about film scores yesterday.
Yeah. Well. Okay, because I have two, but one is it technically came out in 2013, but we.
Hey, we haven't talked about it. So
jammed to it, discovered it 2014. Oh, you know what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, it's up for the 2014 Grammys.
Woo! So that counts. Mm-hmm. That would be Haim.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness, Graciano. Young Will and I traveled through the Midwest to the south of the United States. How many days were we in that car? 3 days? 4 days? Five?
It was four or 5 days, and it was
on the
1,500
road.
Miles.
1,500 miles. We took a picture. The only thing that we had in there the entire time, and we didn't switch to the radio, we had in my car, Days Are Gone. By Haim, their album. It's fantastic. It's awesome. I love them as people. I want to hang with them so bad. What are your thoughts on it? Because I'm going to assume that you have some.
Yeah. Also, by the way, I noticed that you put on like a tiara of some sort.
Oh, yeah. It's a Happy New Year. I totally forgot to lead into that yesterday. I forgot to wear it. And I was, you know, this is our year in review. So I'm getting... into
excellent.
It. If I can't bring thoughts, I'll bring props. So.
Wonderful. Yeah, no, this was a really fun, awesome album. This is like they're very mainstream now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very mainstream. But,
no,
like,
and it
they're on the radio like all the time. When I was in Las Vegas over Christmas, or not of Christmas, whenever it was, over New Year's, you like hear their songs on the radio all the time, which is like the only time I listen to the radio all year. It could be on every day, and I had no idea.
Because I remember we were at dinner when we had finally gotten to our final destination, and it was like a Target ad had Forever. And I remember like sitting there and being like, wait a minute, am I just hearing this after, you know, having it on repeat for
yeah.
hours?
Oh, that we were both really tired. You were probably far more tired than I was at this point in that Target. And
oh my gosh.
Very apt. Or like open for delusional,
and we can still text each other one line from it. We know exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That whole album.
Yeah, like it's just a lot of fun, that album.
Yeah, and you know, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite song from it. This is, and I'm more of a song person than like a band or an artist. And I have gone through waves with every single one of those songs. I enjoy. That's new for me. Well, one of the newer things for me. I have very mm-hmm. few people, so that's on my list.
There's not a like a really weak track on that album.
Mm-mm.
It's a very solid piece of music, and the breakdown to The Wire.
I was gonna say hoping that you would talk about it.
There's a stretch on our journey where like with the album would repeat through, and it would get to The Wire, and then The Wire would play, and then
and if we were talking, Will would just be like, shh, 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 shh. Wait.
Yeah, we would
wait for a second,
and we just like listen to the breakdown, and then like we would seriously like rewind and listen to the song, just that song over and over again.
Yeah.
We might be insane. Like like, that's kind of crazy, but
you know how what is it in Zoolander where they like play relax, like I bet if we hear one of those songs it, like something will snap, like we've been programmed to like do something crazy.
I have an in with the band, and I'm still trying to work.
Will's trying to work his little magic there,
trying to work my way into the stratosphere of new musicians.
Oh,
the
yeah,
upcoming, like breakout stars, that is. Anyway, but yeah, that was a really, really good album. That's
fantastic.
A lot of fun. Cool. Yeah, it's got a lot of attitude.
Yeah.
Is what I was trying to, I was stalling
and
trying to think
it,
of.
I want to say it touches different genres. And
yeah, they're not afraid to just, I'm sorry. Yeah, but they're not afraid to jump around, and they don't
no.
need to.
Because, you know, I think of the intro to, you know, well, the first song that I actually heard in there, I mean, the you know, first single was The Wire.
Sure. I think that's their most played, right?
Yeah, and what I had actually heard first was If I Could Change Your Mind. So it's kind of that more dancey, you know. and, you know, listening to it. They've got really that Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac vibe on some songs. And then I love Honey and I, the intro with the, like, California surf guitar.
Yeah.
Then they've got, where they put, is it the trombone in My Song 5?
Yeah,
that's... I mean, they're you can tell they're having fun and experimenting with it, and that's what I think is really cool. And that they're all sisters, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're just cool, chill people.
Did you hear the My Song 5 with A$AP Ferg?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hella tight.
Oh, yeah. So that's mine. That was my second one.
And so I'm still, even after listening to it for so long, is it's Haim?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, cool. Sick.
That's what I'm going with.
That's what I'm going with, too. Good number seven. My number seven is another blockbuster, I guess. Uh-oh. But it is Edge of Tomorrow, or Live, Die, Repeat, as
okay.
its re-release has yeah. been come to be named. And, man, it should have been a lot more successful than what it was, because it was another one of those... There was, in a year full of a lot of continued universe stuff, perhaps even capital U universes and franchise movies, there were a lot of original movies, and I kind of wish that this year rewarded, like, those installments were rewarded more than they were, because this was a very interesting movie. It was Tom Cruise lead, and I guess I'm a Tom Cruise fan. I'm not necessarily, I don't like him in necessarily everything I see, but I do admire his, like, 100% commitment to every scene he's in every single movie. He's
yeah,
crazy work ethic, and
was the film that he did? Was it even last year? That's really similar.
Oblivion.
Yes.
It's not really similar.
See, and
though.
That's the thing. It's not. But the way that it was really shown for me, who hasn't seen, like, because I had talked to enough people where they're like, "That's not it," blah blah blah. But you know, for me, that just sees it at face value. I'm like, "Oh, it's right. just another one."
Right.
It's Leo DiCaprio as another historical figure. Like, that's what I think.
Sure. Yeah. And, like, Oblivion wasn't great, but I liked it. It was, like, a solid sci-fi movie. But this was really good. And there was a perfect blend of humor. And it had, like, this, like, just a rock-solid, easy follow premise that didn't try to be more than it was. It was just Tom Cruise relives, like, this day over and over again. When he dies, he, like, goes back to the beginning of the day. That's it. Live, die, repeat. Which I guess Edge of Tomorrow was a too high concept or too abstract for people. And so, like, well, let's just get right to it. It's live, die, repeat. The acting in it was convincing, and everyone, like, tried hard for it. There's a healthy dose of actually funny humor, and I like it.
I think what you said, you know, the simplicity of the story of, you know, this is what happens, blah, blah, blah. I think there's so much beauty in that when it comes to sci-fi.
Yeah.
So you can so often go off the track, blah, blah, blah. But I remember, you know, reading about Alien. Why is Alien so great? Because it's so straightforward of... And it makes sense. Well, this character dies because, according to their character, you know, they're the curious one. So they're going to go out and look, and you get nailed. Or, you know, the leader's going to do this and all that kind of stuff, where it just, you don't question it. It makes sense. I think there's so much beauty in that. For something that, when you think about it, you're like, wait, actually, this is crazy. We're stalking, you know, they're stalking an alien. Or, this is crazy. He just relives life over and over. But you're like, oh, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, I just really like this movie, and it's Tom Cruise isn't a typical Tom Cruise, perfect hero or whatever. He's like kind of this actually kind of unctuous coward at the beginning of the movie, and through the plot device of him reliving.
Does he remember his past day?
Yes, he does.
Okay,
and so that allows him to like. Because a lot of times it's sort of like, oh, these people are just like these action stars all the time. And, like, they're just, everyone's so, like, amazing at fighting. But because he keeps dying, he keeps getting the chance to...
Sure.
He knows what's going to happen
next.
Okay,
that's cool. That's cool.
And he, like, learns, because everything else stays exactly the same, so he learns to, like, move out of the way when he gets, like, thrown into battle against his will or whatever. He learns to, like, stand out of the way here, and he's learning to, like, he learns how to fight, basically.
That sounds like me playing Hugo's House of Horrors. Oh, wait, yeah. No, Jungle of Dune. Oh, the elephant's going to run by. Oh, darn it.
Right, I mean, it's a
but you gotta start it all over again. You gotta start the whole. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, it's a very video game movie, because that's like exactly what video games are. Like, you just respawn, and you just learn it, and you get better, and it's so much fun. And I wish people paid more attention to it. Emily Blunt is fantastic in it.
I love Emily Blunt.
She's really good. It's so good, and
so good.
They have good chemistry as leads, and. Gosh darn it. I hope he's not discouraged from taking on.
Did you ever see Rock of Ages?
No, I didn't.
He surprised me in that movie. You should watch it. I know you're not a musical person, so maybe you shouldn't, because you'll just be upset. But he sings in it. He's a washed up rock star. Not washed up, but on the verge of being washed up. It's so funny.
He has range. He has talent.
He does. One of the most fantastic things I've ever seen was his character in Tropic Thunder.
Yes. Oh, my God. Hilarious.
I still am not over it. That's been how many years?
Yeah. I still can't believe that that's him. So good. So good.
So good.
So, yeah. Edge of Tomorrow. Cool. Live, Die, Repeat. Or whatever. I think you'd enjoy it, because it's just a fun sci-fi movie. Sort of like how Dread was the year before, 2 years before. I think it was 2012, yeah. Where it's just like a solid action flick, but I guess this is a little bit more science fiction-y.
Okay, cool.
So there you go. You got a number 8?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the ways that I want to stagger this. Did I talk about Into the Woods last time?
No, shoot. Yeah, we teased it, but
we teased it.
We got distracted by the end of the episode.
Yeah, I saw Into the Woods, mm-hmm. as we had just stated before with Rock of Ages. I'm a musical theater person. I enjoy musical theater. The first time I saw Into the Woods on stage, I grew up an Andrew Lloyd Webber fan, pretty much strictly. And those songs are standalone from the actual production, and they're great. Starlight Express changed my life. But I sat and I watched a production of Into the Woods, and I saw it with my friend, and there's just this scene or this moment when it just hit me, and I was like, oh, Sondheim gets it. Oh my God. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm having this personal connection. Meanwhile, feeling bad for him that he could write this, that he felt this to express this, that he knows so much. And then, oh my God, kids perform this and I'm freaking out. So I went home, I bought another one and another ticket for the next night, and I sat in the back and cried watching it. So I had that kind of a connection with this going into it. And I was like, oh, how are they going to put that? How are they going to? It first surprised me they were going to make it a movie. Because it's essentially one constant song. Like, the whole thing, nearly. There are some parts where it's just speaking, but it's a large chunk of it is song. And it's not like Andrew Lloyd Webber setting it up for a song, you know, where they're talking, and the music kind of starts, and then they start singing. It's, like, pretty constant. And it's long, and it's intense, and there's a lot of deaths. It's all these fairy tale characters, and all of their happy endings happen at intermission. There's still an hour or two to go, and a lot of them die, and it's a lot of adult themes. And then I saw the cast, and I was like, I love James Corden. Like I said, I love Emily Blunt. Anna Kendrick, we're besties. Chris Pine, etc., etc., etc. And I was like, this is great. Johnny Depp's in it.
Meryl Streep, right?
Meryl Streep is in it. And that was where I was, and her, I was kind of like, ugh, because of what happened with Mamma Mia. She's good in it. She's great. She's Meryl Streep, for God's sakes. But, I mean, that role is, Bernadette Peters is the witch. Like, you cannot, okay? That was my sassy musical theater finger that I just waved around.
Yeah, man. I'm getting all sorts of flashbacks.
But she was good. And it was pretty great. And Anna Kendrick is super good. They changed it a lot. They left out some things. Oh,
interesting.
But it worked. And it was good. And I think I was sitting there and I was kind of watching everybody else. Like, because I had a friend that worked in movie theater. And she would say a ton of people when musicals come out anymore. Musicals just aren't popular. And I say that as Glee's super popular and all that kind of stuff. But it's not like, you know, the 1940s and 50s, 60s musical TV stuff. And she would say that people would come up to her and be like, I want my money back. This is not what I paid for. Like, and I'm like, oh, that's such a bummer. That, like, that's terrible. But those people were there and they were engaged in it. And it was fun. And it was an emotional experience. And Adele came on the radio when I drive home, so it was just very emotional at that point. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cool, good. I have a question. Do you know who directed it, and if that person had like a musical theater background, or it was a
movie director? I want to make sure that I get this right. Because oh my god. And I had been reading so much about it because, you know, they were talking. What are they going to cut? Why? It's Rob Marshall. I was going to say Gary Marshall, but it's Rob Marshall is a director.
Okay.
And,
you know, if he is like a stage, comes from the stage,
son of a,
comes
from film. Stop asking.
I'm sorry. Questions. Like, I mean, it probably makes more sense that he would come from film because it's a freaking film, but it's also since it's a musical. Just wondering.
Yeah.
If there's any sort of background. Well,
no, that would be. Oh, let me see. It says, okay, just for the record, I've Googled this, and the first thing that comes up with news is the director, blah, 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 explains why he makes musicals with an S. So.
Sounds like there could be a musical background. That's cool.
Sounds like it could be a musical background.
So I actually saw Into the Woods, not the movie, but I saw the. I don't know, my high school put a production on and went sophomore year or something, and you're absolutely right, it is really long, and I don't know,
you know what
this, at some point I need to give musicals another chance or something, but like this and Disney, both, and specific subset of people I was associated with or like knew in high school, like kind of like ruined the art form.
Yeah, for me. I mean, it's like those are like choir kids for me. Can't stand it. I can't stand.
Yeah.
But there are, I mean, within musical theater kids, there are so many groups. Like I was in high school when Rent came out. Oh my god. I love Rent. I like it, but. I've heard Love You, B.O.M. 20 bajillion times. I did the actual math. It's 20 bajillion times that I've heard that. And I'm going to call it Les Mis because I'm just going to call it Les Mis for short. But I hate those people. Les Mis. Les Mis. And that is also my father's favorite musical production, actually. And
I love how your dad likes musicals.
My dad loves musicals. My mom hates them, but my father, and for the record, my father is this Texan farm boy guy. He made a mix CD because he travels a lot. He made a mix CD for his car that is the Les Mis soundtrack. I have seen so many copies of Les Mis. It's not even fair. I've seen it at the Muni in St. Louis, which is outside. I've seen it at the Fox in indoor. I've seen two different filmed versions of it, and then we went and saw it in London. Like, I have seen it so many times, but his mix CD is Les Mis, George Strait, and his college fight song. That is my father.
That's so funny.
And anytime my sister and I are like, oh, we're going to go to a musical at the Muni, and my dad's like, oh, I'll come and I'll buy your tickets, like that. And we're like, Dad, you can come anyway. You don't have to buy our tickets, but he loves them.
That's really funny. Yeah, man, I've never seen, I can probably count the musicals I've seen on one hand. I did actually like Hairspray. So really, Hairspray the movie with you on your birthday.
Oh, yes, that was so much fun when Fox you guys Theater, saw yeah. that. Oh, that was pretty. And see, that's I love that kind of stuff. And when I was little, I loved Rodgers and Hammerstein too. I said Andrew Lloyd Webber because Starlight Express changed my life. And I've only found one other person in the world that's seen it. And my goal is to find more, collect them like Pokemon. But you know,
like that. My goal is to marry that person.
Oh no! Actually, when we would go and visit Grandma and Grandpa's house, do you remember their old house that they had, the blue house?
Yeah.
In the living room.
Very, very, like, faintly.
Okay. Well, in the living room, there was a cabinet, and under the cabinet was the record player. Do you remember that?
No.
The first thing I would do is when I'd go up to their house, we'd make small talk. I'd run. I couldn't have been more than what, six or something. Would run, put on the record player, and put on The Sound of Music.
You, I've heard legends of you being obsessed with The Sound of Music.
Ugh, don't even get me started.
I won't.
Let me just break into that real quick. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I think that's the one musical my mom likes because it's, you know, in Europe. So. But yeah, Into the Woods is on my list. It was pretty good. I had an emotional experience. I was worried the emotional experience would be tainted. It was not. It was untainted.
It transferred?
It transferred. It transferred, absorbed, and left me changed.
I'm glad it subscribes to Tolstoy's theory of art then, which is something I learned about recently.
Oh, boy.
Which is annoying. for me to bring up. Apologies. My next entry, if it's okay if I plow ahead here.
I want you to, because I'm just going to keep talking about musicals. I'll start singing. If I mute my mic, it's because I'm singing.
Okay. And when I say plow ahead, that's not that just for any old reason. It's because the next movie I want to talk about is Snowpiercer.
That was a good segue.
Did you see Snowpiercer?
No.
This is another like high concept sci-fi film. That good year for sci-fi.
Ooh, is that Steve Carell? No, that's Foxcatcher. Sorry.
That's Foxcatcher, yeah. This is just, you know, guys, what if we were all in one big train together? Like that's the movie.
Yes, I've heard. Yeah, okay.
And it's not purely a original idea. It's apparently adapted from a French graphic novel or something, but it's
I was going to say why a train?
Cuz
it's like Waterworld.
So what's happening is that we as humans in efforts to stop global warming, we like put this like chemical in the atmosphere and it like stops it so well that everything freezes over and it's like this nuclear winter kind of thing, and it's just this complete nothing can survive outside, it's so cold. The only people left, like, everyone dies except for these people who managed to make it onto this train, and the train is this high speed train that goes around the world on these tracks.
Is there a reason why it has to keep moving?
No, not really.
Not explicitly stated.
No, yeah. Theoretically, I guess they could stay still, and it does keep moving. And then like you find out like what's powering the engine and stuff like that.
Sounds like Doctor Who.
Oh boy. it's really cool. It's a dark movie yet again. Chris Evans is
my boy.
Is the lead in this, and he does a great job. He's really like he's got a real dark side to him, and like a very unwilling protagonist. And it's a really cool movie. It's not necessarily the most even movie, but it's definitely like one of the most inventive and just like really interesting to think about movies. There's a lot of really overt like society, the comments on society, like all the poor are in the very back of the train, and the very rich are at the very front, and Chris Evans kind of like leads this revolution of the poorer classes up to the front of the train or whatever, or at least he tries, and the really coolly realized environments along the way. Like there's this there's when you get into like the rich part of the train, there's these like aquarium scenes, and the my favorite scenes kind of become like the famous scene from the movie, is the classroom scene where there's a teacher who's teaching all of the little rich children on the train, like singing these like very like bloodthirsty song, but in like a very like happy smiley face, about like how like amazing Wilford is, and Wilford is the like this god figure on the plane, the plane, the train.
Oh.
I don't want to give anything away, but it's very.
The
Is
engine.
really, really interesting. And what?
Did you say it's the engine?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, I was trying to trick you into telling me the secrets.
Oh, and no, Wilford is a there's a person on the train called
Oh,
Wilford,
okay.
and that's pretty obvious from the get-go. But it's really, really cool. And then a lot of times, Tilda Swinton is really good in this. She plays this
Oh.
completely over the top character, and she's so good.
I really like her. She
Yeah.
freaks me out because ever since she was the witch, the White Witch, I always am like, "Ooh." But
She will not s cease to freak you
no.
out when you watch this movie.
Okay.
She like plays a very freaky character,
She
but
does
it's
freaky really well.
she does so well. She
Cuz it's
does
so subtle.
great
Like
job.
it's
Yeah, this
I
one's
mean, I
not
was gonna say,
necessarily
you
so
just said
super
that she
subtle.
was just crazy, but I think it's so many of her things where it's, I mean, it's like it's understated in the creepiness when she's creepy, you know?
Right.
She can just
Yeah.
look like piercingly at you and you're like, whoa, that's a look.
Right. Have you seen Only Lovers Left Alive? I think that's a 2014 movie too,
Is that
with
with Tom
Tilda Swinton.
Hiddleston?
Yes.
The vampire movie?
Yeah.
Only part of it.
Yeah, I've only seen part of it too, and but if I think if I saw the rest of that would probably
I'd
could have
cry.
made my
I'd never
list.
sleep again.
But Tilda Swinton does creepy in that too, in a but in a much more subdued way. But yeah, definitely worth a ch a look if you haven't seen it. Snowpiercer. Praise
Nice.
Wilford.
Nice.
Right, what you got, E?
What am I on? Am I on my eighth? Do you know? Are we keeping track?
So that was my eighth, and so you're on nine.
Okay. Nine. Oof. Okay, I'm gonna go music real quick.
Cool.
Do you know the artist Ben Howard?
Yes.
He had his new album come out this year. It's great. I love it. It's called I Forget Where We Were, and it's awesome. He was actually my top played on Spotify this year. He beat out Haim, so that's how much I digged it.
To be fair, we did play the CD of Haim. If
Dang
we played
it,
the CD if
you
we on
caught me.
Spotify.
Yeah, but yeah, it's good. It's
Cool. What kind of
sad.
music is it? People are
How
not
would
familiar
you
with Ben
describe
Howard.
it? Because that's kind of like why I asked you, do you know who it is? Because I'm trying to start. It's
I'm like not
like
super familiar with
not like
Ben.
acoustic. I mean,
It's
he's English. He's a singer-songwriter from England.
yeah, singer-songwriter like yeah,
You
singer,
know, there was some great music
melodic,
that came out
softer.
in 2014. Some great songs that were like I mean, like I had said earlier, I'm a song person. So there were a lot of songs that were mainstream or non-mainstream. I think that and like there are different elements that are being brought into mainstream. 'Cause you know, with Throwback Thursday, I subscribe to some playlists on Spotify. A lot of them Throwback Thursday, and I can remember, you know, in high school, and it was like that sound of, ugh, whatever you want to call that horrible thing that we were all into, and it's like that whiny guitar music. I don't even know who it would even be, but it's just that whiny sound, where it's almost emo lyrics, but not quite. We were super into that. Or then there was like rap. I think that a lot of the elements that are mainstream now are really cool. Like I like Latch by Disclosure, all that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about Ben Howard, and it was great. He, it's almost haunting it's acoustic guitar. I mean, it's clean. You know, it's not electronica. Mm-hmm. I'm not a musical person per se. I don't make music. I am an audiophile. I like music. I just don't know how to describe it. So
no, you're doing a good job.
Okay, thank you.
Of it.
Yeah, it's good when I want to chill out. It's called
I forget where we were. Cool. I'm gonna throw it on my rotation because I just signed up for Last FM and like Scrabbling, whatever. So a couple of my friends can see what I'm listening to. It's made me very self-conscious about my listening habits.
Well, I just realized when I was talking to you before, and I was like, oh, listen to the Jonas Brothers. I don't have a problem with telling people, but I still think, oh, so I put it on private session right as I was like, oh, I don't want people to know.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because, like, sometimes I just want to, like, listen to... Sometimes there's a discovery process. You have to listen to some bad music to get to good music. And I don't want people to think that I'm, like, liking the bad music I'm listening to. But also sometimes... I am liking the bad music I listen to, so...
You know, I find myself... I like to think of myself as a non-judgmental person. I feel like I just take people... But when people have good music sense, and I guess compatible with me or, you know, in the same vein of me, I'm really excited. I love those people. I love it. That's one of my favorite things. And even sometimes when people are like, oh yeah, this is my favorite song, I'm like, ugh. No. Once again, non-judgmental person.
Sure. I've done a lot personally. I've like listened to a lot of different types of genres this year. Like stuff that before this year I was very like anything mainstream is like bad. But then I got into Taylor Swift this year. Like I really liked
You got into Taylor Swift.
I really like Taylor Swift. Not even any of her music.
Hey, I cut down 6 trees today all listening to her. It was like I get under this spell. She makes me so productive. Like, I can do things. I wrote my thesis listening to Taylor Swift.
Like, she really just cut down 6 trees today?
I did. Do you see my body is all scratched because of I pulled them all down. I'm so sore. I won't be able to get up after this, but...
Wow.
I tell you. T-Swift. It's the T-Swift spell.
Or like Tree Swift.
What's going Hey-o. On? But, and do you find yourself, I hate the question, what's your favorite type of music? Ugh. It depends on my mood.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's almost like I want to like combine different genres. They're like, oh, I like, you know, like acoustic, electronic.
Yeah, Americana, hip-hop, R&B.
Hip folk. Soul, you know.
What is that thing that I really got into? Nouveau disco or something?
Did you get into neo-disco?
Yeah, neo-disco. Like, and that's the other thing. People name every little thing. I'm like, good lord. What are you going to classify this as? It's just
crazy different genres. That's actually
Just enjoy it.
I mean, you can still enjoy it while classifying everything.
Yeah.
You're going down this, like, weird path.
We're humanity. We are humans. That's what we're going to do, is classify it to understand it.
I mean, are we, though? We could be Dancer. Hey.
We could be Flat Circles.
I know I am. But, yeah. Cool. Thanks for bringing the music.
Hey, man.
You're welcome. One of my resolutions for 2015 is to listen to more music.
Are we friends on Spotify? Yeah, we are. We've made playlists. I just want to send you a bunch of music.
Send them.
Let's do that. Can we make a 2015 resolution that we really...
Yeah.
Send
yeah, I've got. I have some of the stuff that I think you. Actually, I don't know. Maybe it's like maybe you won't even like it, and tell
it's
me
worth
if you
a shot.
Aren't into it.
But I won't
like
judge
some
you
stuff
for
that
it.
I've been like,
wink,
listening to that like, yo, Evan, check out Run the Jewels. You like?
I was gonna say something, but I held myself back.
Okay.
So yeah, that's my 9th.
Cool. All right, my 9th. My 9 also has a number.
Heyo.
That's bad. That's really bad. I'm embarrassed of that. 22 Jump Street. Did you see this?
No, and I still haven't seen 21, and I see it somewhere. Oh. Like, I see clips of it, and I'm like, I need to. My name is Jeff.
Yes. Like, on Vine.
Oh, my gosh. Like taken over Vine.
Oh, God.
Oh, I should have put that as my 10th. I love Vine. I got addicted to Vine in 2014.
You're Vine. You're of. Yeah, we could throw a couple of superlatives on here. But Chris Miller and Phil Lord had quite a year with the Lego Movie and this, both. And those guys can really do comedy. And I almost want to call them like the American Edgar Wright, but that seems like probably unfair to both of them because they're each doing their own. All three of them are doing their own things. But I just upset. I think they each, both Edgar Wright and the Chris Miller and Phil Lord team, can do deft humor in more masterfully than almost anybody, and it's really awesome. 21 Jump Street was. It was unexpectedly absolutely hilarious. And so 22 Jump Street had kind of like this really high bar to meet, especially for a comedy sequel, which like a lot of times comedy sequels are kind of trash, especially in recent memory. Like Anchorman 2 apparently sucked. I mean, I don't know. I am no really position to talk about that because I never saw it.
I never saw it either. One.
But it didn't seem to be well received. But not, I can't really say much about this movie that really hasn't been said, but it's just so funny and very tongue-in-cheek and self-aware in the best possible way. Very, like, we're seriously doing this again? Like, yeah, we're doing this again.
It's I know, like that's what I was going to say, that one clip where he's like, movie. No one thought this was going to work out, and I thought it was a dumb idea, but how you've been unexpectedly, you know, blah, blah, blah. Basically what you just said, but that line, it was in the trailer, and I was like, that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And oh my god, the credit sequence. Have you heard about the credit sequence?
No, I actually haven't.
That's the very end. It's worth seeing just for that. It is so good. And it's.
Is it bloopers or?
No, it's. I can tell you, and it like won't ruin it because it's still like hilarious. It's. They effectively just murder any chance of a 23 Jump Street. Because like the like directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and then it goes into this like fake a series and a nearly interminable series of fake trailers for the sequels.
Oh yeah, no, sequels. I have seen that. Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so good. Like all these different scenarios, like oh, they go to culinary school, blah blah blah. They like replace Jonah Hill with Seth Rogen at one point, and. For like, and then the sequel, talking about like the casting agencies and everything, like very, very inside baseball, but so funny, and I just like the commitment to, we're like, no guys, we're like not gonna do this again, and going all the way with it, really good stuff, and Channing Tatum still has unexpected comedy chops, just. So good. He's the dude.
He actually is pretty darn good.
Yeah. I actually don't know if I've seen anything I didn't like him in.
Really? Did you like Step Up?
Well, I guess I haven't seen like anything but 21 and 22 Jump Street.
Did you like Magic Mike?
Didn't see it. And I do like Steven Soderbergh.
I was going to say, will you go see Magic Mike 2 with me?
That's not Steven Soderbergh, is it, though?
Doesn't matter. I think it's it Channing Tatum. He's not even in that, I think. I don't know. I've already asked you to go to T-Swift. You've agreed. So I just wanted to see how many things you'd agree to.
Sure, why not? Like,
why the heck not? YOLO.
YOLO. All right, let's get this... Actually, I don't want to rush. I don't want to rush the 10th, but do you want to hit us with your 10th?
Well, see, here's the thing. My 10th actually is not super amazing. It's something that I actually ended up enjoying and I didn't think I'd enjoy, and I enjoyed it.
Unexpected surprise. I like it.
Yeah, it was The 100-Foot Journey.
I haven't heard of that.
That we saw Christmas Day because my family... was getting squirrely. The kids wouldn't sit down. All this kind of stuff. So my mom had brought three DVDs. And I'm sure you can guess which of those DVDs are. Because I One was
it, she hold let on, my, let me guess.
Okay.
I'm gonna only be able to guess one, and if it's not this, I don't know anything.
Okay, because here's the thing: I'll give you a hint. She let Dad pick one. She brought her movie that she brings. I swear, she must have 20 copies. She brings it with her everywhere, and if anyone hasn't seen it, she makes them watch it. And then she brought this movie.
Did she bring A Good Year with Russell Crowe?
Yep, sure did.
Yep.
Okay. My mother loves that movie. They watched it. She had a dinner party Monday. One of the 10 people hadn't seen it. She made them all watch it. That's terrible. That's cruel and unusual punishment. She has the That's soundtrack. Not a bad movie. No, it's a great movie, but it gets old the 50th time. But she loves it. And she falls asleep in the first 10 minutes anyway. Anyway, so A Good Year came. The film that my father was allowed to bring was Elf. He loves that movie.
Sure.
The scene that gets him every time is when he jumps up on the tree. My father loves that scene. The other movie that they brought was this one. And I was like, okay, well, we're not watching the rest of them. Seen those enough times. Let's watch this.
Right.
And it is the story of in France, this immigrant family from India comes and starts up a restaurant across the street from a French 5-star, well, they're not stars, it's this special rating with chefs. And they set up their little Indian restaurant across the street from this amazing classical French thing. And they're all like, you know, you're not going to survive. And they have like this little war. It's like the dad of the family and the woman who run the restaurant exchange barbs, and you know, they just each kind of subtly try to take each other down, and it's funny, but then they eventually go too far, and one of the chefs sets fire to this restaurant, to the Indian restaurant. And Helen Mirren is actually, I love Helen Mirren. She's
good.
She's fantastic. She is the leader of this restaurant, the director of the fine French restaurant. And she realizes, like, okay, this is terrible. Like, no one's supposed to be hurt and anything. And the son of the owner of the Indian restaurant, he burns his hands in the fire. And it turns out that he is a fantastic chef. And he's been kind of seeing one of the chefs from the French restaurant. And the two of them meet up and she kind of tells them stuff. And they kind of mix Indian food and French cuisine. And she tells them, like, you have this gift. So, you know, and then he gets discovered. And it's the whole thing of your past, representing your past, you know, going to your future, and how, what it would be like to be, I think, probably a second generation in a foreign country. And I'm not that way. I know Grandpa has talked about, you know, being from Poland and talking about, you know, how his dad, you have these Polish ways and this is the Polish thing to do things. And, you know, but then you're like, well, I'm not Polish. You know, like I am, but I'm not fully, and all that kind of stuff. And then like really combining it and finding that nature. And then it's just people from different backgrounds, you know, just coming together or going apart. Or I just found those the different relationships interesting. And I ended up enjoying it. And I kind of was passing through in the beginning. And by the end, I was sitting down and we had the twins are 14, my cousins. And they sat through the whole thing, and, you know, all of us kind of piece by piece came and were watching this movie by the end of it. So, it was good.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. That is my 10th.
Number 10 is The 100-Foot Journey.
Yeah.
Cool. By the way, check your instant messages on Skype.
I did.
Okay. Neat. Oh.
There we go.
All right. My number 10, I guess that I will charge ahead and say, is turned out to be another sort of surprise, sort of like your number 10, where I kind of expected not to really like this, but I ended up really, really, really enjoying it. And it's a TV show, and it's BoJack Horseman on Netflix.
Oh.
Have you seen BoJack Horseman?
Yeah, well, I've seen, I have not seen, sit down and seen it, but I've seen the trailer and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, you got to, it is like a sit down and see. It really caters and kind of relies on a binge watching approach to the thing, especially towards the second part of the season, because it starts out as a sort of typical above average animated sitcom. It's funny, a lot of good jokes, blah blah blah, and you get to like know who the characters are, and then there's these couple different short plot arcs and through lines and stuff that last a couple episodes but never go to see. You're not expecting it to be this like big drama thing, but then it turns a corner and it doesn't stop becoming funny. It actually becomes funnier a lot of the time, but it became like impossible for me to stop watching. I actually became emotionally invested in these ridiculous characters. Like there's these, it's the horse human and like bird humans and cat and just humans, just the crazy world. And everyone's so over the top and everything, but the writers on the show are so great at working in hard truths about reality in a very straightforward but hilariously dismissive way. It's so good. It's very smart. Paul F. Tompkins is incredible. I love Paul F. Tompkins, but he's so good as Mr. Peanut Butter, the like jerk golden retriever, but also like lovable in every way too. It's too good. They know exactly how much to rely on just sort of like cheap animal gags, but they're not cheap. They just work so well. Just the funniest moment of the show, it's like second episode, they just cut to a grocery store, and the two like dog women at the grocery store talking, chatting, gabbing, gossiping, and one was like, I just can't eat chocolate. It just kills me, but I just can't stop eating it. And it just like, it's just so perfect, like, because they're dogs and whatever. I have a friend who explains jokes when I watch TV with him, and so I apologize if I just did it there, but it's something I got used to. My favorite quote from the show, at least off the top of my head, is one of these flashbacks to BoJack's past and his dad, very strict, like I think military father, is lecturing him about the importance of like, hard work and everything. He says, "There's a right way and an easy way. Are you going to sail around the horn like a gentleman or go through the Panama Canal like a goddamn Democrat?" Like, doesn't make any sense, and it's just so funny. Yeah, like, but there's some serious like tortured characters in the show. Specifically, BoJack Horseman deals with some really tough stuff and has to, like, this animated horseman that undergoes like serious character, I don't want to say change, but like reflection. And I mean, he does change and he becomes more aware of the kind of like bad person or bad horseman he is, but he's still like, you're still cheering for him at every turn. And Will Arnett does a fantastic job voicing him. It's just a really good cast. Off the top of my head, there's Aaron Paul as Todd, the live-in roommate who kind of mooches off Horseman's success. I guess, yeah, BoJack is like this retired or kind of washed-up TV actor who had the sitcom in the 90s that was a big hit called Horsin' Around. He was kind of resting on his laurels there and trying to get back in the game somewhat. A lot of good commentary on Hollywood culture without being annoying and cliche. So BoJack Horseman was a really good surprise for me this year.
Cool.
Yeah. Definitely watch it in a sit down way.
I can't. I shouldn't stand and watch it.
It's just stand. I don't know what I meant to say, but like sort of like a, it really lends itself to binge watching, I guess.
Mm. Cool.
So those were our top 10. Of 2014. Should we move on?
Yeah.
And power through?
Why not?
Okay. So I have. So I get sort of like the negatives here, but we don't have to focus too much on the negatives, and I'm not too hard on anything here. I do. I can quickly run through my list of things I wish I saw this year. Top 10 regrets. I don't really have much to say about any of them, other than like, hard. This was really good, and I really disappointed myself for not seeing these. So I'm just gonna list them. That's cool.
Do it.
All right. So I wish I saw Birdman.
Same.
I heard some great things about it.
It looked so cool in the trailer.
Oh, man. Nightcrawler.
Same.
Yep. Jake
Gyllenhaal. This is just going to be the same list.
Yeah. Boyhood.
Oh, stop! Didn't see. I have my undermined... Boyhood is underlined 3 times.
Whiplash.
Yep.
Imitation Game.
Yep.
Under the Skin. Didn't really wish I saw. Scarlett Johansson's an alien.
Oh.
And, like... seduces people and kills them.
Did like, Her come out in 2014?
No. Oh,
damn it.
Did not. It won Oscars last year. Skeleton Twins.
Well, that's with, a bummer. I wanted to talk about that.
Is that Will Forte and Kristen Wiig? Or is that? It. Yes, I think it's Will Forte. I love Will Forte. I mentioned this last episode, but I wish I saw Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that turned into a great show. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Isn't a 2014 show, but it had.
It picked up speed in 2014.
Yeah. And I think that's. I think it's going to be a hot comedy, you know?
Mm.
I think it could be like a. I
sounded like your brother, love right? Chelsea.
There. I love Chelsea Peretti, and she's in it, and I like Andy Samberg. And he's also in it. I'm not just naming random people I like. But it seems like something that I could really get into now that Parks and Rec is done.
Mm-hmm.
Au revoir, Parks and Rec. Well, it's not done. Its final season is going to air. But, yeah. So, yeah. Do you have any that I didn't hit?
Yeah, I want to see Night Moves.
Oh, yes. Jesse Eisenberg.
Mm-hmm. And Dakota
Fanning,
Peter Sarsgaard. I love Peter Sarsgaard. Also Inherent Vice.
Yeah, I almost put that on my list because I feel like there's still time.
I was gonna say it just came out like what, theaters. 2 weeks ago?
Right.
So yeah. But I think those were my two that were the different ones.
You
know, I'm not a Divergent or whatever the heck that is. You know, because you know, Mockingjay came out. It's pretty for the Hunger Games. If you live under a rock and you don't know that, Mockingjay came out and I wanted to talk about it. It's not on my favorites cause it's good. It's all right. At that point in the books, you know, it's, that's what it is. It's really a filler. But I saw that night. I saw that on the night in which, and saying this, I don't want to get political, but that, was when the Ferguson verdict, or whatever, whatever you want to call that, you know, when they released that announcement.
That announcement, yeah.
And I saw it when I was back home visiting my parents in St. Louis.
In St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah, so it was so strange going from watching that movie, then going home, and it was super late when I got home and my dad was watching the news and, you know, stuff's on fire and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, whoa, it was crazy, to kind of see an element of how this, you know, I mean, like there was that kind of, this is real life. And then I just sat for 3 hours and watched, you know, people acting kind of in the same way with different reasons, all that blah, 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 political stuff aside, but just the whole visual aspect of it.
Weird timing.
Yeah, really weird. And where, yeah, But
I suspect it's a conspiracy. I'll say that.
Well, because then they were saying that, you know, Lawrence, how the hanging tree has become really popular. Apparently,
there's like these remixes. Oh, yeah. And stuff. Like
how that. Weird is that?
Which is like, isn't that kind of like anti the?
Yeah, like message. That's not really something that like this is when it's like, oh my gosh, could you please make it more obvious? You're just trying to make a buck. But and like Jennifer Lawrence said that she cried when they made her do it because she hates singing and she's like, I can't do it. I'm a terrible voice, which she does not have that bad of a voice. It's real like jazzy kind of. But yeah, that song apparently got popular with all of the waves of things that have been going around the country, and I was like, are we just making that connection or are we not, you know, what does that
right?
But I, as for another series or whatever that's come out, I have not read any. Are they as is the book series called Divergent? Do you know anything about those?
I think the book series, I don't know how I know this, but I feel like the book series is called Divergent.
Okay.
And I'm, like, not interested at all.
Like, you know, and it's a big thing. And I had just seen it flash up. Because, Insurgent is the other one that's coming out. And I was like, I'm not sure if that's a regret or not. Oh, did you see Fury?
No.
Mm.
And I actually resisted attempts to go to
really?
See it. Yeah. I don't know. I am World War II'd out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. What about Horns? With Daniel Radcliffe?
Daniel Radcliffe. Because
that apparently got really good reviews. Oh.
Really?
And here's... Okay, this is another one that I thought I was going to see, too. I know, I just cut you off. But The Theory of Everything.
Yeah. What about... You wanted to see that?
Yeah. I know. Because I just want to see... I just am curious about it. And sure. It's in the movie theater here, and I almost went and saw it the day that I saw Into the Woods. I almost just stayed all day and watched The Theory of Everything, but I did not.
Yeah, it seemed like kind of like a... I don't know.
I am really touchy about those kinds of things, because I feel like... Ooh. I mean, there's so much with that plot of what are they going to make that movie about? Like, oh, it's his first wife, and... Are they going to make it so much about what happens to his body? And you know what I mean? Like, but he's such a cool dude. Have you seen the videos of when he has such dry humor. Some of the things that he says. They're fantastic. I really love him. He's cool. Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I didn't want to see it because I like don't like Stephen Hawking or anything. It just seemed like it could have been like just... overly mushy
and it's like this is a real person
movie that just came out that just seems sort of same hitting the same notes of overly like, oh my gosh, this person was amazing. He's like, yes, he had some troubles here, but
yeah, we'll gloss over that.
What a perfect person.
And it's like, oh, you know, he's just love styles everything. You're like, oh well, he also has this terribly painful, scary thing happening to him. But so what? And I guess in the same kind of realm, do you have thoughts about American Sniper, Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, don't want to see it.
Are you all like warred out?
No, I just that just seems from anything I've seen about it. I admittedly haven't seen much, but like that seems sort of like the sort of act of valor. Last Lone Survivor, same like realm as those movies. America.
Yeah. I have another. Okay, I have two more things I just want to say real quick too. I do want to see The Babadook.
Yes.
Because I'm not into gore. I guess I'm not into the horror genre, but I love thrillers. And apparently that's what I was reading about it last night after we were recording.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
I like things where it could be like where it's just a little off. That's why I love the original Paranormal Activity. Because it was, you know, I mean, that's a little different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that could be a really good thriller that I want to see.
Yeah, I do want to see it because I've heard it's so good. Not a big horror person either, but apparently I can handle my horror better than I thought I could. But yeah,
and
that'd be interesting to see.
I'm intrigued as to what the U.S. version of Broadchurch will be. I watched the U.K. version. I really liked it. So hopefully we don't screw it up.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. What is it?
Oh, it's awesome. It's a detective story with David Tennant as the detective.
Oh, okay. I saw that on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it, but I saw that it was on Netflix, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty good. The,
cool.
It's a lot like, without the supernatural element and stuff, it's a lot like True Detective. It's a simple story, but the way that they shoot it and they tell it with the pacing and the characters, it's pretty good. It's a fraction of, it takes that little aspect of it. It's not True Detective by any means, but that approach. But sure. And my last question that I have for you, Will.
Yes. Hit me with your cues.
Do you regret not, actually, I'm not even sure if you saw this, but I'm going to assume that you didn't. Do you regret the Ninja Turtles movie of 2014?
Of course I didn't see that. Why would I see that?
You saw the original at my house.
Like, yeah, but I don't know. I have a whole no nostalgia towards it because I never saw the original when I was a kid or whatever.
Sure.
And, like, I don't like Michael Bay. I thought it looked really stupid. I don't know.
Like, that's not what the Ninja Turtles are about, man. The Ninja Turtles are just fun. They're Ninja Turtles.
Like,
that's hilarious.
I just, like, don't care about the Ninja Turtles in any way.
Man, I like the Ninja Turtles because they're fun. Do you remember that montage sequence in the original when he's talking about when he found the turtles and they're actual turtles and he picks them up with a spoon? With a spoon. That's hilarious.
That.
Oh my god.
I probably would appreciate that movie a lot better if I like saw it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Are like kids gonna like have the same sort of nostalgia?
No.
Can you picture being nostalgic for a Michael Bay
movie?
See,
I would hate to be feel bad for the kids that are growing up these days. Everything that they get, they do stupid or whatever, gets logged on Snapchat. Not logged, but they share it and, you know, you can, whatever, copy and paste it. It gets spread to everybody. Then what movies do we like? Oh, Ninja Turtles. Oh, the fun one where they pick up turtles with a spoon? No, the ones where they're freaking crazy and everything's blowing up. Oh, well, what kind of thing did you like growing up? Did you like Barney? No, I liked those crazy, weird-ass things that have eyes and don't say actual noises. They're just, I mean, they don't say words. They're just, blah, 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 blah. I don't even know what those are called. They freaked me out. I am over 20 years old. Why are kids watching that? The only thing that they have to look forward to is Frozen. And you know what? I've watched that about 10 times this past 3 days when my 4-year-old cousin was here. And it's not really that great of a movie. I said it. It's pretty good. But it's,
yeah, I don't care about Frozen.
It's absolutely not a Disney classic. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, screw all Disney anyway, though, so whatever.
There's my rant for the week.
Yeah.
I'm out of breath.
Yeah, there have to be some, you know, like there seems to be some lights in the dark because just with the sheer amount of stuff that is going on, like apparently Adventure Time is really good or something. I don't know. I've never watched it. I think it's weird, like the people who are
my
age or into kids shows. But
I did hear of this adorable show that's called Dr. McStuffins. Did you hear about that?
No.
She's this girl who's a doctor, has a clinic for all these stuffed animals, and her assistant is a hippo. That's adorable. Well.
Okay.
It's cute.
Sure.
But, yeah, okay, so those are my thoughts and my questions. Those are my cues.
There's your A.
Actually,
wait. Sort of like this, like, grumpy A, I'm sorry.
No, and right as I said that, Did you like The Expendables?
I never saw it.
Okay, I thought that you... Maybe I was thinking... It was something that was... I wasn't expecting you to like, so that would make sense. Gotcha.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah, those are my thoughts.
Cool. I do quickly, I just want to throw this in here before we move on to our disappointments or whatever. I wish I saw the Roger Ebert biopic, Life Itself. That seemed like it would have been really... I don't know. I'd like to know more about the man. And it seems like he had some really inspiring things to say.
Did you watch the Hobbit thing? You like Hobbits, right?
Should we just transition to our disappointments?
Okay. Yep, do it.
Okay. So, The Hobbit, number one for me. And I'll let you go because you had something to say about it, but I'll jump on with you.
Oh, I was just going to ask. I realize that I'll have to watch all of them because Lee Pace is in them. I have no desire to watch those movies, but Lee Pace. So, that's all. That's legitimately my thought on that entire sequence of films.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Skype sucks. I'm sorry. You have to watch The Hobbit because Lee Pace is in it?
Mm-hmm. And he is my everything.
Who does Lee Pace play?
Thranduil? Thanduil?
Boy, what is he? Is he a dwarf?
He's an elf. I wish you could see the face I'm making, because I have no idea about anything about this.
Okay,
all I know is
okay.
Thranduil, elf, sassy, long blonde hair.
Yes, okay.
He has the most amazing voice to grace the planet Earth.
He rides a moose.
Done. I am so in for this movie. Why haven't I watched it before?
And you're going to watch it and you're going to be like, oh, God. Because none of the movies, none of the Hobbit movies I thought were really any good. I mean, the first one wasn't really disappointing. I mean, but obviously it wasn't as good as any of the Lord of the Rings. But this movie really fell flat for me. There are, like, none of the emotional beats that were supposed to be there, like, hit at all. Really, any of them. Any urgency that was left over from the second installment or the previous installment didn't carry over. Like, they didn't kill the dragon in the Desolation of Smaug, which I guess we pronounce it Smaug, so whatever.
Smaug.
I've been saying Smaug my whole life, and I guess, like, haha, that's wrong. I guess it's Hermione, not Hermione.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what the heck?
There's no way. It's totally Hermione. I don't care what anybody says.
But yeah, so, like, they, like, kill a dragon, like, first off thing, and then, like, I don't care because, like, oh, I need to be reintroduced to the situation or something. I don't know. And then there's a bunch of, like, emotional recovery. And there's this okay. So there's this gross-looking dude with a unibrow in the village. And he spent, like, what felt like 80% of the movie on screen. And that would be particularly that shameful for another, like, mediocre film, except for the fact that there is a perfectly cast and criminally underused Martin Freeman as Bilbo Baggins. Because he is, like, the only good thing about any of these movies. And he spends, like, no time on screen, it feels like. He's, like, the only good part. And what he was given, he really has no chance to flex his acting muscles other than, like, an occasional quizzical look. Which, I mean, to his credit, he might as well, like, trademark. It's so good. But it's... I was just really kind of bummed out at this movie because usually I can suspend my skepticism and, like, go along for the ride, but man, there's just a ton of bad looking CGI, and like I said before, I don't have a problem with CGI in general, like Donald the Land of the Apes. I'm gonna say it right now, movie of the year.
Heyo, he
went there. But there, like, a lot of unnecessary CGI, like we made. There's just, like, a random dwarf character that showed up that was all CGI, and it looked like the general from those car commercials. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, dang. This was just not a good movie. And I thought, I don't know, at one point, the Thorin dwarf, lead dwarf king, says to his squad, I have no right to ask this of any of you, but will you follow me one last time? Which I felt was like Peter Jackson reaching out to the audience that please, 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 like, don't hate me for this. But I don't know. And I loved The Hobbit as a kid, and I wasn't necessarily like, oh, they need to like do this right, or else I'm gonna be really mad. Like, I can separate the art, the Tolkien thing from the movie. It's where, like, I realized the Lord of the Rings movie is, I realized diehard Tolkien fans are like mad about those or whatever, but like, I think that they can exist separately, and we can enjoy each for its own merits. But there's just like not a lot of merit to these Hobbit movies, whatever, and it'd have been cool to see it go. Yeah, so that's one of my disappointments of the year.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Do you have a list of disappointments, or am I the only negative one here?
No, I don't. I actually don't.
That's cool. I mean, I do have something that. Go ahead.
No, I mean, because I've never really had a disappointment. I mean, things are not. Oh, that's not what I was expecting, or whatever. I mean. Or a lot of things where they haven't been on, I wouldn't put them on my favorites list, but I wouldn't put them on my down, like, you know, that awkward moment with Zac Efron. It was funny. It was all right. I got what I expected of it. Wouldn't put it on my favorites. You know, it was there. I will say, I'll call him out. The other love of my life, Kip Moore, guitarist, a singer, songwriter of country music, said he was going to release his new album in April. Where is it, Kip? It's not here, and that's disappointed me. He tweeted today, "Oh, you guys ready for some new music?" Yes, Kip, I have been ready since last year when you said it would be out. I mean, that's the extent of my disappointments.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to say, come on, Kip.
Come on, Kip. Where you at, buddy?
Like, if you're the only disappointment of 2014, like, what, everything else, like, was all right.
Well, and that's of stuff that I saw, because, of course. Yeah. You know, Wish I Was Here happened. Zach Braff. We all know it was Garden State times two. Did I see it? No, because I thought of that, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
If I Stay was made. I have issues with that book anyway. I know the whole point of it is that, you know, she is trying to decide whether to live or die, but I have a whole issue with, I have this weird issue with the whole trope that kind of seems to happen of someone's in a coma, but they could pull out of it if they just tried hard enough. And it's just like,
yeah,
I don't like the idea of that. So, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, other than where I'm like, oh, that happened, which is horrible to say because people worked really hard on that project. See, I'm trying to,
Okay.
Not be a hater, but.
Right.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a hater either, but I don't know. I think that in order to recognize the really great stuff, we can
talk
about like the stuff that is not as great. When I'm meaning disappointments, it's like I wanted these things to be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm not just like pulling out. I don't have Ninja Turtles on this list. I don't
Transformers. And that's how it's different, because like that's my attitude towards it is, why is this here? Like, you're constructive about it. And like, oh, I just really, you know, I believed in you, and it just kind of slipped. I just had this bar here, and you know, good effort, but it just wasn't what I was expecting. I'm just like, why did you make that? Seriously. I just have an issue with the whole plot behind that.
Well, so, yeah, for those things where it's sort of like, I don't see the things that I'm not interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, like, I like wish we would quit going to see freaking Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need more,
you know,
darn Transformers. We don't need more freaking Turtles. And we don't need more Wahlberg and Dwayne The Rock Johnson pushing each other or whatever.
Yeah, but. And what I noticed that in looking at, oh, what did I watch this year? I watched a lot of catch-up movies that I should have seen. Like, I watched what is it, 7 years in Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
I watch movies that I should have seen and that set foundational things. And shout out to Netflix. Thank you for that. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about 2014 movie-wise. There weren't too many things that really stood out to me. And that's why I think my disappointment will be that when I go on my trailer sprees for 2015, the bar is so high. I'm so excited about so many movies. And I'm like, oh, man. I hope it's good.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff on the horizon.
Yeah.
But I was really pleasantly surprised by 2014.
Really?
I guess that's 2014 was like sort of the year of pleasant surprises for me.
Mm.
Where there I was sort of like, ah, oh, it's gonna be sort of like a filler year waiting for 2015. But I think that I had a really good time with TV and movies this year.
Did we talk about Joe? Had you said that you saw that?
No, I did see that, and that was great. I saw most of it, and so I couldn't put it on my list because it didn't complete it.
Hmm.
But that what's that kid's name?
Him.
One from Mud.
Yeah.
God, he's gonna be
Ty something.
Yeah, Ty something.
He's gonna be good.
I mean, he's already good. Mm-hmm. He's already crazy good. But he has quite a career ahead of him, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Cage did, I think, a terrific job.
Ugh, Nick Cage. Joe.
Yeah, that's like the only thing that's the truest thing you can say about Nick Cage.
And like that's where I was kind of like, oh, it's like Mud but with Nick Cage, which one would I rather see? That's a no-brainer. I mean, what, there's,
but it's not, did you,
I know, and really. And that's the thing too where I'm like, it's not, it's what a lot of, it's like when Elizabethtown came out right after Garden State and everyone's like, this is basically the same thing, but you're like, no, it's really not, it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not like Nicolas Cage. I have only liked him in one thing, and that was, is it called Wild Hearts? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It was a long time ago.
I think you mean Ghost Rider.
No, I absolutely do not mean that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, are you being serious?
No.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it was called that. I'll have to look. But
I'm on willing board? To give him chances because, like, I don't know. He's done good. He does. He's like, dude, this is all over the map. Dude's like, might be actually crazy, and like, he commits so hard to his stuff, like
yeah.
Sort of like Tom Cruise. But he goes just too far.
Too far. You never go that far, Nick. But it's called Wild at Heart. That was the name.
No one could figure out Nick Cage. But no, okay, yeah, I have liked him and stuff, and I have also disliked him and stuff.
Okay.
As is the case with a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I cut you off during your disappointments.
No, that's fine. you mentioned this earlier, but one of my disappointments this year was The Hunger Games.
Mm.
Whatever the one came out this year. Mockingjay, Part 1, is that what it is? Okay. And so, like, I could take this as a sign that maybe I should, that I'm moving out of target demographics quickly. But I did really like the first two movies. I haven't read any of the books.
Oh, gosh, you're right. There were two of them, weren't there?
Yeah, I liked, I think people like didn't like the first one, but I liked the first one, and the second one seemed to be a big hit, and I really liked the second one, and maybe it's just because this is sort of a victim of the ever popular break the teen flicks into two parts trend, but I think there should start being a stronger narrative component to give merit for an argument for chopping up a film, rather than just, yo, we should like cut this in half, though.
Yeah, and then, so I guess that everything that I said about it was wrong, because that is it's the third book, right? But it's just the part one of the third book.
Yeah, I don't
wow. See, and that's where I'm like, thing. Oh, geez, because it would be Catching Fire. Yeah, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, then Mockingjay. And actually, Mockingjay was, I think that was probably my favorite book, which is weird. That's the one that everyone hated, but it was like reading a video game. And I have a lot of issues with Hunger Games as a universe. I loved the main parts that I loved about it weren't translated to film, to the movie.
Hmm.
About how she feels playing to the cameras, knowing that she's in, you know, like, okay, every aspect of my life is monitored, and now especially in this game, and thinking about all that, and oh, if I look this way, if I do this way, like that, I was like, oh, that's kind of like Facebook. You only put, like, the happy parts on Facebook. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of a stretch, but knowing that people are looking at you, how you want to present yourselves, whether it's conscious or inherent, you know? Oh, I don't really want people to know I'm having such a bad day.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I love my job. Actually, I hate it, but I, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I liked, and I felt like stuff could have been expanded on. Didn't you say, what did you, you had some feelings about the book.
No, I didn't read the books.
Oh, I think it was Atticus. Oops, sorry. I think it was somebody
else. Shout out to Lil Bro.
Oh, I shouldn't have said his name.
Yeah, I don't care. Well, he might. Never mind.
But, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I enjoyed about it, and that didn't translate, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it just seemed like, I don't know. I left, and I was like, I would make it a better movie.
Yeah,
make it more happen or something.
And that's like, why would you see that? Like, it's a filler. Like, it's just her running around. And that's kind of, a lot of people had an issue with that, where Katniss is supposed to be this hero, this feminine hero, and blah, blah, blah. What does it mean for girls, et cetera, et cetera. And then she does all this, and then she just sits around for like a book and a half and watches stuff happen. And they changed it in this movie so that she would have had a little bit more to do with it. But when you talk about like an anti-hero, like the Han Solo, where it's like, hey, I'm not going to do this, like blah, blah, blah. She genuinely doesn't do anything for like a book and a half. And she just was watching everything. Has nothing really to say.
What a commentary on our society of watching things.
It's interesting.
Yeah, so that there was that. Should we plow ahead?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we are again. Interstellar.
Uh-oh.
Really liked the movie, but I was disappointed by parts of it. And these are more like symptomatic of like Christopher Nolan himself, and this is going to be something that we can probably team up on a little bit. But they keep repeating, "Do not go gentle into that good night." That poem.
Oh, don't overdo that.
It is overdone.
No.
It's like cringy. Like it works once, and then they hit it like three more times.
That's like when people put cutesy filtered crap quotes on Instagram that are actually really deep, and then they just are like, hey, well, I'm just going to take this one section of it and make it really something. And then people tag their best friends. I do that. But you know what I mean? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm like, come on. And they kind of turn it into like, oh, that's like kind of what the character does. But like, yeah, you don't necessarily explain it away enough. You're still playing into it.
Yeah.
There's another part, like when. So, Cooper, I'm not going to give things away, but there's a time when there's something is spelled on the ground. For some reason we're getting this code from the future, and it's STAY, stay, and. There's another part where there's sort of like you see that from a like another perspective, and it's very like hammered home, like, oh, this is what that is, but from another perspective, and the acting's like, and McConaughey's like doing a good job, but it's still he's seeing it happen, and he's saying, oh, STAY, stay, and he might as well just be like earlier, and. Yeah, we got it. Like we could cut down that whole scene. The wormhole scene is basically what I'm talking about. We could cut that down almost out. We could probably take it out. I mean, no, because that's what the movie relies on, but Chris Nolan, trust your audience more. The Casey Affleck's character and the whole like father-son dynamic altogether was pretty whack. Because, and this is why it's disappointing, because Matthew McConaughey and his daughter, Murph, it's so touching, so emotional, and it works so well. I'm super into it. And then, like, it ignores the son, basically, and sort of, like, pretends that, like, I don't know, like, maybe this is more telling about my relationship with like my dad or something. I don't know, but it's, I don't know. I would be like, I'd be sad if my dad went and got on a spaceship, but it's very like, you good, son? Yeah. Okay. Bye, dad.
Peace.
Yeah. Well, just, come on. There should be more than that. There should. Yeah. Just because you're like your daughter's dad doesn't mean your son isn't sad. And then like Casey Affleck, that the son grows up to be Casey Affleck in the movie, and he does some like unreasonable things that are, it's kind of stupid, but and then the rest of my disappointments about this movie are the deal with the reaction to it. There's been individuals who have criticized the science of Interstellar, and I think that is so dumb. Of course, we can't actually travel through space-time or via a black hole or whatever. If the stuff that happened in Interstellar were possible, why aren't we doing it? Like, this is science fiction, okay? This is, it's fiction. It's not supposed to be actually able to happen. So criticizing, like, oh, we can't get that close to a black hole without like blowing up, or we can't, that's not how like time works. It's just really, come on. Like, I feel bad for you if you think that's what movies are supposed to do. So, and yeah, coming back to if Nolan being, if he was able to completely nail every idea that he brought to the table in this film, it would have been number one movie of 2014 by a long shot. So it's, guess it's kind of disappointing in that way. But yeah, do we want to reopen Interstellar beef?
I don't have interstellar beef.
Nolan beef.
We don't want to open the Nolan beef.
Okay, we'll leave that bag of jerky hanging on the
We should have a debate.
hook.
I don't want to debate you. I'm gonna lose.
Yeah, you don't want it, but I'm just kidding. But, like, no, I agree with your criticisms of Nolan. I just think that you take them too far or something. I don't know. That, yeah, he needs to trust his audience
Well,
more.
see, I forgot that Tom Hardy was in Inception. I'm gonna rewatch.
That fixes the beef. Like, what is, what kind of
It
reasoning?
like dumbs it down a little bit. Speaking of dumb it down, I'm talking about Christopher Nolan and exposition.
Wait, what dumbs it
Huh?
down?
Huh?
What do you mean? Did Tom Hardy's involvement dumbs down
No, it like
Inception?
dumbs down the hurt for me. Like,
Oh,
that's not
okay.
the appropriate term, but I wanted to do it to segue
Sure.
into a expositional
You just trying to like throw
flamethrower.
barbs at. Okay.
Yeah, like a porcupine. My barbs are
This is
shooting
the place
out.
to do it, I guess. Yeah.
But you know what? I actually thought of this yesterday. I'm going to watch Christopher Nolan movies, and I'm going to take notes.
And watch them as they are.
Yeah.
Watch them
I won't look
because
up anybody's criticisms on it or join a forum where I can bash him.
it's and like forever, like I'm annoyed by the hive mind as much as you are. Like, I hate
The what?
like the hive mind of like Reddit who are
Oh.
going on about like,
Oh my gosh.
oh, like crazy Inception is, that's crazy. Like, oh my God, Prestige, never saw that coming. What a twist. Like, oh, that's crazy. A Memento, that's the greatest movie of all time because it's so wild that he told it out of sequence. It's, no, they're just, I don't know, it's like simple, they're simple tricks.
Oh my gosh.
But they're used well.
Yeah, you
And
will. I mean, nothing will top for me, though, probably. The twist at the end of Sixth Sense. That was culture blowing. That's all I have to say.
yeah, and that's and
I
that and
mean, that's not
that's kind
Nolan,
of
but.
big
I mean, when we're
man,
talking
Nolan, if
about
only.
twists, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, he has a clone. It's like, okay, well, he's been dealing with that stuff, like, that makes sense. But, like, whoops. I mean, want to talk about? We should do. We'll do an episode
Best
about
twists.
twists. Yeah.
That's gonna be a tough one to talk about, but yeah, that I like
Yeah,
that. I
it'll be a
like that idea.
spoiler. We'll have to just disclaimer at the
I guess
beginning.
so. Yeah. But sometimes disclosing that a movie has a twist can just be a spoiler in itself.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, so like, let's close up the beef bag.
Beef bag is closed. The doggy
All
bag
right.
is going on down home to the
Taking that home with
dogs.
me. Yeah. I've got a little bit of beef with the Game of Thrones season that was that aired this year.
Actually, and I was actually going to ask you about that, how that was going for you.
I think season 4 was a lot better than season 3. Like, a lot better. But I still feel like Game of Thrones is still trying to regain the magic of its first two seasons and, like, the import of them. Like, they felt so much different. And at least I hope that the writers are sort of aware of the stagnancy of season 3 and are working to avoid that sort of lagging again. Because, man... And this is coming into back, like, my philosophy of talking about disappointments here, because Game of Thrones has insane potential, has the potential to be one of the greatest shows on TV of all time, in my opinion. I don't know. It's just, it's all there, and I just want it to be so good so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotta be so hard. It's gotta be so hard to make that darn show. Like, there's so many wild storylines and interconnected parts, and just dozens of these tertiary characters that are coming from the source material. It has to be a complete nightmare for the showrunners. But
yeah, they'd be like, oh my god.
Like, seriously.
They gotta have like drinking nights. I imagine, yeah, like, every Wednesday is just, guys, let's go.
They got to do something to get through that, because I think they can do it. I think they can. I believe in you is what I wrote down here that says, keep at it, folks. You're on the right track. I believe in you. But, like, so I guess it is an improvement over season 3, but I really hope that they completely turn the corner on season 3 and left that sort of stuff behind. But, like, let's get moving again. Let's get things happening, and let's make us care about it. So yeah, that's my Game of Thrones issue. My last thing, the last disappointment of the year, and this is a really bad way to end it, but because it's something I don't care about, but I know others might, and I know that you might care about this. But I caught the very last episode of How I Met Your Mother after only seeing bits and pieces along its run as a show, and I was, like, still offended by the end. I never regularly watched the show at all. I didn't, like, even really like it when I did see it. But I was still, like, thrown by the last episode, or it might have been like a two-parter or something, but I like saw it. Like, I have a friend who's like, who's diehard Himyam fan, like, he's obsessed with it, can tell you the plot of every episode, tells jokes all the time. But our conversation after we saw the thing, or after we saw the finale, it's basically like, if they're gonna try to pull this kind of BS in the final episode, I feel like they should have spent a lot more time setting up what happened, and rather than this sort of cheap feeling runaround they threw at us, it just was not satisfying whatsoever. And I'd like, and that's coming from somebody who doesn't like watch the show,
yeah,
doesn't care about it. So I don't know, what did you think of it?
In college, my college boyfriend's group of friends, they were obsessed with that show. And one of the guys, he watched every single episode of Boy Meets World 1 year. And then the next year it was How I Met Your Mother. And it was still coming out, so we would just have binge nights of watching it. And after, you know, college, I didn't really watch it that much. You know, if it was on, I'd watch it. So I hadn't really kept up with it. But, you know, we all kind of started messaging again. And we were like, you know, you're going to watch it, because this was kind of our thing. And it's an intern era, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think I don't want to say, I knew it was going to happen. But I had whispers about, are we allowed to say what happened?
Yeah, who cares? Okay. Yeah, everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
It's like,
I kind of felt like, I think she's going to die, because it made sense of why he was telling this story, and certain, you know, kind of, I didn't, but the thing that, you know, was the curveball was, oh, wait, no, it's for Aunt Robin. Wait, I'm sorry.
Right.
And I love Robin. I loved Robin as a character. She was shitty to Ted. But Ted was Ted. But I liked her because I kind of... I was like, I want to be Robin Scherbatsky. She's cool. Like, that's pretty cool. She smokes cigars. She does, you know, laser tag, blah, blah, blah. But then the fact that she and Barney broke up, like, there were just, it was just hit after hit. Like, come on. That was it. Like, that's why they made sense, where it was like the two people and, oh, yeah, you know, and it's like, oh, you've got this person that is kind of just like you. And it's like, oh, we're friends. And, like, that's how we have our relationship. Oh, nope. No, that's gone. And, you know, he holds his baby and is like, oh, you know, you're the one thing I'm always going to love. And I was kind of like, okay. Neil Patrick Harris is a great actor. But in that scene, I was kind of like, I just feel like he's just being over dramatic. I mean, not even like as a character as his delivery, but the way that that was, oh, I had Robin. Don't have her. No, this baby's my everything, except, oh, because he, and I know that's the point, is he goes from, oh, this number 30 or whatever he was calling her, and, oh, it's not my baby, and all that, blah, 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 and then he's like, oh, my God. But I was just kind of like, I don't believe that. I really don't.
Especially with, like, kind of, like, the his, doesn't he kind of end up as sort of, oh, yep, that's the way he is.
Yep.
He goes back to it.
Yep, exactly.
Split and stuff.
He goes out to the bar, and then, oh, yeah, I think people never change. I'm like, well... Well, but then, yeah. And for us, they spent the whole last season, we fell in love with the mother. She was a great girl. She is cool and all that stuff. And you're just like, God, if they had it where it was like, even if she had to die, you know, I could be like, okay. If they had just spent more time on her, like, it really was just shoving her aside for Robin.
Yeah.
It's like, that's ridiculous. No. But, yeah, that's it.
Like it seemed like they were, it's it like sort of a cashing in on some low-hanging fruit of emotions.
God.
And, like, I don't know.
And the thing is, I might have been able to believe it a little bit if they had, it just felt so abrupt.
Like rushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had issues with that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I actually had a lot of issues with TV this past year. Was that your last one?
That was my very last entry. I have a quick superlative, positive and negative, but yeah, that's basically my last thing.
See, because I was going to say, New Girl was really good, and then it kind of drifted away, and it was disappointing. But I saw an interview where even the showrunner and some of the writers were like, yeah, we went away from what worked for us. Like, and they're completely aware of it. And they're like, yeah, nope, that actually was a terrible... You know, so often you get your canned excuses, or not excuses, but statements and, well, you know, we thought it and this and this. And they're just like, no, actually it was bad. It was bad. But we're working on it.
I can appreciate shows taking a different direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And... I guess this goes on my favorites or whatever, but something that I started watching in 2014 that I really liked was The Mindy Project. I really like that. I was not expecting to, but I do. But another one that is just a disappointment to me, Will, is Glee.
I'm your disappointment? Oh.
Glee. Glee's a disappointment to me. And it goes back to how we were talking about anthology series, all that kind of stuff, and Ryan Murphy. Oh, this is strong. These are strong words. I'm sorry.
Sam.
Just seems that it just can't hold anything that... You know it's going to fall apart. You know it is. And Glee never found its voice. It tried to be too many things at once. It tried to be a PSA. It started out as a satire, basically. And it stuff's crazy, and you're like, okay, I can suspend this belief. But then it tried to be a PSA. And I think that you can have... Obviously, you can have a moral or something like that in comedy. You know, how Modern Family does it so well. so many, you know, so many shows and all that, and stories, they do that well. But Glee, it was just like all over the place. And then with the passing of Cory Monteith, stuff changed. But you know how they were going to, how Ryan Murphy said he was going to end the show? He knew exactly how it was going to end. And I don't know, do you even know anything about Glee?
Nope.
All right. Well, Rachel Berry, played by Lea Michele, an incredibly talented Broadway performer.
Wait, did it end? Did it end?
It's ending this year. This is the final season.
Oh, okay.
She has this drive. She's incredibly talented as a, you know, high school singer. She's awesome. Blah, blah, blah. She has this drive. She's a little bit crazy, but it's hilarious. And she's going to be on Broadway and all this stuff. Her boyfriend, or the guy that she wants, and then ends up getting, they date, and then they don't date, and then they get engaged, and blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of BS in high school, is the quarterback of the football team, but he's not really that good, but he's not really smart, but he's just kind of a nice guy, but he's also not really a nice guy. And that's like, all these people are like, oh yeah, he's a great character. I loved Cory Monteith, like, as a person, but, or from, you know, from what I saw, he seemed like a great guy, but that character was awful. Like, I mean, he was a good-ish guy, but he didn't care. Everything was for him. Whatever. He was just pathetic. He was just sad. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I feel the same way. No one, like, 90% of the people don't know what they're doing. But that's the point. It's like, you figure it out, and, oh, I'm going to go do this. Like, he joins the army, and then he shoots himself in the leg, and then he's okay. Like, I mean, what? They were going to have it end by she goes off, is on Broadway, and then the final scene of that show was she was going to walk back in. Okay, also, a large part of the show is they say they don't want to be Lima losers, because it takes place in Lima, Ohio. Lima loser is someone who just hangs around town all night, all their life. It's like, we're better than this, you know, we can go and do things. Well, Finn can't really do anything, he can't really get into college or whatever and all that kind of stuff, so he just pretty much, I'm pretty sure illegally, because I don't know how you can be authorized to do this, he starts teaching at the high school, teaching Glee Club, and he's not a very good performer either, but he can do it because he's Finn. And they were gonna have her walk through the door back in Lima, Ohio, whatever, and say, I'm home. I'm sorry. You're going to have this character that this is like all of her drive and all of this and this and this, blah, 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 just go against everything. I just have a lot of feelings about it, obviously. And now they can't do that because the character doesn't exist. And they've made another character, Sam, who was my favorite male character, probably, just so dumb. They actually have made him a dumb person. Because they decided to make him a model. Well, of course, a model's got to be not smart. And he was... I mean, they've just systematically ruined characters. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. It's so sad. And I remember the day I found out Darren Criss was going to be there, because I loved him with the Star Kid musicals. And then I was like, oh, this is great. And he's so good. He's so talented. And they've just... Everybody hates his character because they just gave him all the solos. I mean, it's... terrible. And I just feel so bad because I want it to be so good. I wanted Smash to be so good. It fell apart. It's just sad when that happens.
Sounds like it really hit you hard.
It did. And, you know, and I know that this is me in a perfect world. I would think, okay, this is how I want this character to go. And they're going to grow and they're going to do this. And I'd want to have some input on the actor, because the actor is the character. You know, they have this feeling and all that kind of stuff, and they're just kind of like, yeah, we're scrambling to write this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you serious? And maybe that's just how it works. Maybe that is how it works. I don't know, but I'm just like, it just really just felt like there was no plan other than, oh, at the very, very end, we're gonna have her come back. What?
Ugh. Sounds whack. Like, and because I, like, don't know anything about the show. Like, literally zero things do I know about the show other than not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds whack.
Ugh. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, sure. You could have her character change where she's like, oh, this isn't, you know, what I want or whatever. But that's her everything. Or, you know, it's because, okay, well, I can mellow out and have other stuff in my, you know, other things in my life. Or, hey, I want you here and this and this. Or, hey, maybe here's a crazy idea. You're not going to end up with the person that you're dating when you're 16 and you get engaged to when you're 16. And you meet other people that reflect your interests more. That, yes, you might still have these feelings for this person, but hey, our lives are actually different in different, you know, places. No, that's a crazy idea. Man. I have a lot of feelings about it.
Are you feeling better now, or is it
I feel a
still
little bit better,
did it
but I
fix
have
it?
so many things
No.
to say that I'm just trying to cut myself off because I do. We're probably way over our time already.
We are wow. We're okay. We're okay though. We don't have too much more of that. So like Glee sounds like a very big disappointment. Ryan Murphy, get
Oof.
your crap together, I guess. And yeah, I guess let's do a quick run. Can we do a quick rundown of everything that we talked about this past couple days?
Yeah, I barely remember, but I'll stick through it for
Okay.
you.
Okay, then I'll just quickly say, so my top 10, 2014. True Detective,
Yes.
The Nick, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Gone Girl, Interstellar, Grand Budapest Hotel, Edge of Tomorrow slash Live Die Repeat, Snowpiercer, 22 Jump Street, and BoJack Horseman. That was Will's top 10.
Evan's top 10 were really great, and you should listen to the previous podcast to listen to them all.
Yeah, no cheats
They
here, you
included
know?
True Detective, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Lego Movie. These are in no order at this point. Ben Howard, Higham, In Your Eyes, how top class. Liberal Arts, I think, was probably on there.
Yep.
100 Foot Journey. Into the Woods, and there was another one that was probably,
That's nine.
yep, what is that other one?
You had, oh, never mind. Never mind. I was gonna say, because you had a double at one point.
Yeah, that was my Guardians and
Lego Movie.
Lego. Oof.
We didn't have any crossover in our top 10.
Well, True
Isn't that
Detective.
crazy? Oh, wait, yeah, that's right.
I think, well, I think that's when I started talking about freaking Wolf of Wall Street. Gosh, God
Oh, yeah,
knows.
Wolf of Wall Street hits.
But I didn't like that movie. I just liked that one scene, and that wasn't even
Oh.
in the appropriate time.
Huh, okay.
So,
Well, let's say you really, really, really liked True
I
Detective.
really liked it. There's a ghost in there. If you can find the 10th, you win.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure you hit all
I could say
ten.
the Mindy
So,
Project because I really got into it and really liked it.
hey, yeah, there you go. If that's the 11th, that's the 11th. But if that's the 10th, that's the 10th.
And honorable
Yeah.
mention, Doctor Who, because I have not seen any of the new episodes and I hate myself for that. Because I watch a lot of British TV, or clips on YouTube at least, and yeah. Bummer. I need to get onto that.
Yeah. So my top five disappointments of this year. I'm not gonna go through like the regrets because I just listed that earlier. But top five disappointments: The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part One, I think. Interstellar again, Game of Thrones, and How I Met Your Mother.
My disappointments
And
were my general feelings towards a lot of things. And I apologize for that.
that's okay. We are allowed to have feelings. I have a superlative. A couple superlatives about 2014. I don't know if this is necessarily the right term for it, but I would like to say positively, 2014 is the year of Phil Lord and Chris Miller. The engines behind Lego Movie and 22 Jump Street. I think that they brought that they succeeded at the box office where my other faves didn't, but also succeeded creatively and artistically, comedically, in a lot of really good ways. Good for the art form ways. And the negative superlative I have, so it's a opposite of super. Like, never mind. I was going to try to make a pun with superlatives. But whatever. It's the year of Bay. Year of Michael Bay, that is. And a box office powerhouse that just needs to...
Needs like, to stop. The little engine.
Just needs to stop. Like the massive...
Huge engine.
The massive, all-consuming engine.
You want to talk about Snowpiercer.
Can't Wilfred. Stop. Oh, praise Wilfred, indeed.
Like, oh, Wilfred. My bad.
Michael Bay, please. Like, dude, like, I don't blame him at all, because, like, hey, if that's... He was making the movies he wants to make, and, like, is reaping plentiful rewards, bountiful, like... In our democratic capitalist way of consuming, that we choose that we want more Michael Bay. We deserve more Michael Bay, I guess, but like...
I like how we were non-political about Ferguson. We got real political about Michael Bay. But we didn't really.
Just describing, like, you know, like we vote with our dollars and he's winning every time.
Now I just picture him as like this combination of Dr. Evil and Scrooge.
I mean, apparently he's a jerk on set, but like he can direct action real well, and he seems to be having a blast doing it.
Let's blow something up and stick a hot babe in front of it. Ugh, those are
like, ugh. And he's just like doing it. Does that better than anybody? And we seem as a culture seem to be eating it up.
BuzzFeed.
Okay, we need to stop before this turns into an all-night rant against freaking BuzzFeed.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Guys, just quickly, don't read BuzzFeed. If they do like...
Why? I don't understand your hatred towards it is.
Hey, you need to stop reading BuzzFeed. You need to delete your account on BuzzFeed. You need to, like...
I comment.
Put a blocker on your computer.
I comment on BuzzFeed. Oh my god, I've commented
Evan,
three times.
I can't.
It's me telling stories. I like to tell stories. If anyone's going to listen...
Promoting that nonsense is detrimental to...
Some things are pretty funny, though.
Society.
The Try Guys are pretty funny. I like them.
Any part of that stupid machine...
What?
...that is being supported needs to end.
I actually founded BuzzFeed.
Then we're done.
And with that, we're done.
Well, I guess it's over then. No, just like, guys, just don't read BuzzFeed. I'm sorry, I don't want to like end this on a bad note, so I'm going to say, I mentioned this last episode, I watched Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Obviously, they didn't come out this year, but I thought it was one of my favorite movies I saw this year.
So
and
good.
Also, Twin Peaks.
Mm.
I'm watching the originals. And wait, speaking of looking forward to 2015, is the new season coming out this year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, dang.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be tight.
I was so hoping that they were going to make a new season of Pushing Daisies. They were thinking about making a movie for it. Speaking about throwbacks that might be coming back. The damn writer's strike killed it. And that was one movie, I mean one show I loved back in the day. Oh my gosh. And as I were talking about Lee Pace, something happens to me. Okay, this is actually a form.
This
we might have to
feeling.
WebMD this. No, it's even worse than that. I get tingles all over my body. But if I see a picture of him, I lose it. I saw a picture one night. I blacked out. When I came to,
what?
I had ordered both seasons of Pushing Daisies on expedited delivery.
This isn't a real
thing.
This
is a real
thing.
He does this. He has that power over me.
When you look at him?
When I look at him. That's not even listening to him.
Okay.
He plays a transgendered individual in a movie called Soldier's Girl. And I was like, I'm questioning my sexuality because he looks so good. And it's him, her, I don't know. But I get it. And I want it. And that was me watching.
I don't know. And my brain doesn't know what's going on, but my heart does.
Oh, speaking about things like that and hilarious Anna Great. Kendrick. Did you see when she was live tweeting the Peter Pan?
Oh, yes. My gosh. And I think I remember the tweet that. You're talking
She's
about.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's just what made me think of that. Basically, 2014 was the year of Anna Kendrick. She ruled
us all. Yeah, goes to her. She hit that like rough bump, and I was like, oh, is she gonna like the leaked pictures, whatever.
Oh yeah,
but
she owned it.
But she managed to stay afloat, and good for her, because even though she is seems to be the savior of the movie musical, which, God, please, no.
Don't you dare.
I can't help but still like her.
Did you see they're going to make a Goosebumps movie?
Yes.
Because remember the other day we were talking about musicals.
That's weird.
And I was like, we should make a Choose Your Own Adventure, where you have these different outcomes and everyone knows it. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
It made me think of Goosebumps. Sorry. I'm good.
No, that's about it for me, out of me. You have anything else you want to say about 2014?
About 2014, no. I have thoughts for the future, but we can save that for a later date.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do another app on that, because this is a long one.
Yeah, and I am still counting on hoverboards to be created. But mostly, I want hoverboards, but I really do want the shoelaces, the you know, the tie themselves, self-tying shoelaces. That'd be awesome. I love Back to the Future. For all of those who did not know what I was talking about at all.
When I was in Vegas, I went and put a future bet on the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. Which is stupid, because they're obviously not going to win. But the odds were so bad that, if they did happen to win, I would win $750. And while we were there, my dad put a bet on the Cubs winning the World Series.
Oh, my God.
Which is generally, not a good thing to bet on.
But they do it in 2015, according to Back to the Future.
Yeah, and so the odds were really good. I mean, that also has something to do with them having apparently a really good team. They're I think they're ranked 6 at this point, but yeah, it's the 2015 year of the Cubs. Could happen. Back to the Future, it all ties together. Anyway,
time is a flat circle.
Boy, isn't it though?
It really is.
Man, it really, really is. The best movie of 2014 goes to Matthew McConaughey's Lincoln commercials.
Oh my gosh. And down here, down in the South, he does the voiceover for Esurance, too. And for something else. No. Not Esurance. That's John Krasinski. Energy. So his voice is everywhere. Between Lincoln and Energy and all this kind of stuff. And you can tell he's just smiling through the whole thing. And I'm like, he believes in me. I can do it.
He's a force to be reckoned with. Whatever he's on.
I want it.
Need some of it.
In my veins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's... just, and it's probably just like him, you know? It's like,
oh yeah,
I'm just
whatever, man.
I'm just the dude, whatever.
What does he say when he won the Golden Globes? And he was like,
his Oscar speech was his hero is himself.
Yeah,
10 years later,
and this was his first line, his opening line, and I say it to myself a lot, but I can't think of it right now. He's like, graciously accepted, something something. Oh gosh. Whatever, it's a great line, and you're just like, man, he's just a walking speech machine.
Just, it's kind of unfair, but he's too likable to get down on.
Yeah,
well, not necessarily, that's weird, but okay, on that note, I think we should wrap this up.
We should, guys. McConaughey believes in you. We are in the McConaissance. We are blessed.
The McConaughey day.
Ugh, McRib. Go get yourself the McRib. Just come back.
Celebrate. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And have a good 2015. We'll be there. We'll be there with you.
See you next year.
Tune in next year for our 2015 recap. No, we'll one of our resolutions is to do this more often.
That and share music on Spotify.
Be there. Maybe we can do a public... No, that's stupid.
Uh-oh. Wheels are turning, guys.
What are our thought beers listening to? That'd be cool. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you later.
Peace.